Pharisee, I preach the gospel. I follow the apostles, you follow Pentecostals. You're not reformed, so that's a risk. I believe the 5 points like an asterisk. I repent, but you're in sin still. I spit rhymes and Fernando does a windmill.
Here we go, and welcome to another episode of SoloCast. It's your boy, Pastor Chris Hernandez, and my man, Jimmy De Los Santos.
How you doing, Pastor Chris?
And Pastor Henry Knox.
What's going on, Pastor Chris? What's going on, people of the internet?
Hey, what's going on, brothers? How you guys been? Traveling, yeah, and such, right?
Yeah, it's been kind of busy. Last week we did the Hearts for the Lost in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, man. I had a crazy trip, brother. You hear about all the cancellations?
Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, my flight went from Dallas to Chicago, and I had to run, no kidding, from gate to gate when I got there, because I got the notification on my phone when we were just about to deplane that they were already boarding the other flight, right? Of course, you know you don't get internet up there. And I knew we were running late, man. I ran in my sandals, man. Because I don't, man, I hate the whole, I go without a belt and all this. I know how to travel, man. I've done it enough, right? So I'm running in my sandals to the next flight, get in there, sit down, pretty good seat, right? Southwest allows you to sit wherever you want. And headed for Philadelphia, man. And I'm telling you, we weren't 15, 20 minutes away from Philadelphia where the pilot comes on the thing. This is your pilot speaking. You know how they do. Like, uh-oh, what's going on now? And he's real serious. So a fire broke out in the control tower in Philadelphia, and they were not taking flight. So we had to divert to Baltimore, right? Get landed in Baltimore. They didn't know what to do with this man. They had us sitting on the tarmac out there, just like sitting and waiting until they told us, we're going to refuel and take y'all back to Philly. But there were some people that said, no, just let us off here. We're closer to our destination. So
did you get a refund?
I did not.
Why not?
I haven't asked. I haven't tried to ask. You know, maybe I should. In any case, something. You know, a drink coupon. No, I don't know, brother.
So that's where you were. I thought you were. You know, we talked about last time on the show. We talked about you being engaged. I thought you took off to Vegas or something, bro.
No. That hasn't happened. There's some other things that need to happen before that happens. It's coming, bro. August.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. So
we're anticipating the date.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And Pastor Henry, you were at SBC.
Yeah, I had a fun-filled trip, man. I went to the National Southern Baptist Convention conference in Anaheim, California. This was my first national. It was overwhelming, man. Like it was kind of the same experience like with G3, but a little bit different, of course. Not so much, I hate to say it like this, like not so much theology focus. It definitely was a meeting. So
yeah,
when
it's
you
a
go
business meeting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is a business meeting. You're sitting there and you're voting, you're doing whatever you got to do. I guess the simplest way I can describe it for the audience is I would say blessed frustration. So it was serious, but I got to see how great Rick Warren was, though. I got to see him feed the 5,000 and
walk on water. I think it's the biggest thing that's come out of that, you know. And the best thing that's come out of that as it relates to the memes that we've been seeing, you know?
Oh man, the memes are so funny. Yeah,
have y'all seen the one with the footprints in the sand? Y'all seen that picture, right? And it's like when you see the footprints, it was Rick Warren carrying you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll say this. It's definitely one of those things where I'm not going to sort of speak out of turn and speak without knowledge, but it was good experiencing it. The SBC does a whole lot of good. Like, definitely, you know, man, like I think everybody, I don't think there was a dry eye in the room when they were talking about the mission workers and how they're sending them off,
right?
And the whole stage of church planners. And those people who have to go over and do missions, and that's what your dollars are being sent for, is to do mission work. And those people, some of the people couldn't even show their faces. You know, these are husband and wives, couples who couldn't even show their faces because they're going to places that are extremely hostile to Christianity. Right. So like those things are a lot of the good that happens. But when you're such a big tent as the Southern Baptist Convention is, the auditorium was full with like 11,500 people. I mean, and it was just seas of people. And so when you're that big of a tent, there's definitely going to be politics involved. There's the good old boy stuff going on and everything else. So you could tell a lot of that stuff was going on. But, you know, you take the good with the bad. You know, we went to the Conservative Baptist Network. I didn't get a chance to see Bodhi because they went somewhere else. They went to the pastors conference because, of course, he's being voted on in that particular area. But all in all, man, I mean, it was a good time in terms of me gaining knowledge of how the inner workings of the SBC works. What I will say is they're very transparent. I mean, all the money, all the I got several books. I got this book right here. It's the Book of Reports right here. I mean, I'm talking about like everything, all the minutes, all the finances and everything is listed inside of here. I mean, they're fully transparent, man. It's just that we have to be mindful of moving steps to the left and allowing sort of this lackadaisical watered down approach. Because when you think about it, the SBC is the last holdout as far as conservative Christian values. And so kind of the best quality I did like about it is that everybody had a voice. Like you could be Joe Smo from Backwoods, Tennessee, and you could still voice your opinion. They'll put it in the minutes and put the motions in there. It's just that we need more people who are willing to stand on the word of God rather than play politics. Right. So
maybe we need to circle back one day and do an episode just on the state of the SBC. Because I think that, you know, there's some voices outside of the SBC that we would call our friends that throw a lot of stones at the SBC. Right. And, they say a lot of things. And us, you know, we full disclosure, you know, we pastor SBC churches and we're kind of in it. And I think, you know, we're probably in a better position to both offer critique and offer encouragement. Right. And offer, you know, the good that we see, but also the things that we see that need to be addressed. So maybe we'll circle back on this.
Can you, Pastor Henry, at least for the sake of the audience, define the word transparent? I mean, you said they were being transparent, and I thought that maybe we could understand.
Well, we couldn't define whatever. Well, I won't say that. I won't joke about that. But we couldn't define what a pastor was, and it's almost crazy because we're arguing. You know, the biggest question out now is what is a woman. Yeah. And it's sort of not fitting, but it was sort of ironic that the church couldn't even define what a pastor is. But definitely in the area of being transparent, I would say, you know, it's a definition of being see-through. So,
yeah, there you go. So let's get right to it. So, you know, we're in the month of June still. I think when this episode drops, we're still going to be in June.
Yeah, we'll still be in it.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone knows out there. I mean, you can't get away from it. Everyone knows that this is what the culture is calling Pride Month, where the celebration of the LGBTQ community is going on. You know, you can't go anywhere. You can't turn on the TV without seeing this. You can't go shopping without seeing this. So everybody knows what is going on in this month. So we thought we'd devote an episode, since we do have one more episode to drop in the month of June, we thought we'd devote an episode to talking not specifically about the whole LGBTQ movement, because we have addressed homosexuality and different issues surrounding that in the past. But one thing that we've never really tackled is the T in the LGBTQ, because the T, transgenderism, transsexuals, I guess, whatever you want to include under the T, has been something that we've been seeing emerge and come to the forefront in our culture recently. You know, we've been seeing drag queen story hours to little children. We've been seeing dance parties. Mm-hmm. I've even seen a church invite transgenders into their church to kind of put on a show for their children's church or whatever. So I've seen all kinds of stuff, and I think this is something that you know is becoming more and more of a thing in our culture. So we thought we'd devote an episode to it and talk about it again, specifically the T in that LGBTQ movement. So let's start with a definition, like we always do, Jimmy. What is transgenderism?
Transgenderism is a state or condition in which a person's identity does not conform unambiguously to conventional ideas of male or female gender. So there's another thing here in Wikipedia, but transgender people have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from the sex they were assigned at birth. Of course, that is language that you would expect from a left-leaning culture, right? A progressive culture. There are other things in here that of or relating to a person being a person whose gender identity differs from the sex the person had or was identified as having at birth, especially. And so this is a when I read it, when I read the definition, it seems pretty simple, right? And I think, you know, I started reading Carl Truman's book, The Rise of the Modern Self, or I've not got the title right. It's behind me. I'm not going to grab it just to get the title. But I will tell you that reading the introduction was interesting because he lays out the fact that the sexual revolution has been progressing as it's gone along, to even to the point where you know, where we started off with something his grandfather would have thought was strange. If you told him that a man said, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body," his grandfather would have said, "Are you crazy? I mean, what's wrong with you?" Right. And today, through the culture, through all this, the media and everything that we've seen, there's a lot that's been normalized. Homosexuality has been normalized. Pornography has been normalized. A lot of the shameful things that we've seen in the past that our grandparents would think that's a shame, that's shameful, have now been normalized. We get to the T in the transgender movement, and the whole sexual revolution has brought us to the point where the big push in the last few years has been to normalize transgenderism. And so that's where we're at.
The book that mentioned by Carl Truman is called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self.
There you go.
So we've been seeing, like you said, we've been seeing this more and more. There's been a push to make this the norm in our culture. Pastor Andy, what are you seeing out there in the last few years? What kind of things have you been seeing in regards to this?
I think this kind of goes back to what Christians were talking about, you know, with the new atheist movement. And I'll kind of start with the origins of it, because one thing does definitely lead to another, right? And I don't know if you guys remember like that new atheist movement that was happening, like, you know, when the Zeitgeist movie came out in 2000, in 2001, about how, like, you know, Jesus isn't real and everything else or whatever, all the discussions around Bart Ehrman and Richard Dawkins and everybody else or whatever. And this really kind of came from that postmodernistic thinking, right? Because postmodernism says that really there is no truth. Truth is whatever you make it. Everything in the world is a social construct. And so you can identify or be whoever you want to be, et cetera, et cetera. And Christians were banging on the drum back then saying, if you deny truth, which you can't deny because no, it's denied, you have to use it. It's oxymoronic, right? And so from that, you had the sexual revolution, which was already in the underbelly of what was going on. You got organizations like NAMBLA, which is like the National Boy Man Association or whatever. Then from there, you had this wave of new age people that were sort of making the case and saying, we can identify however we want to identify. You know, if you want to identify as a man or a woman or whatever, these are all social constructs anyway. So there's no reason to do whatever. But now it's become so bold and so brazen, because it's not about equality anymore, which we can argue about that. It's not about, you know, even the term equity they use all the time. But now it's about there is an apparent agenda. You know, you got Disney, you have all these companies. They are agenda driven. They're open with it. I'm talking about senior directors, executives. They are coming out and saying, hey, we support the agenda. We are allies and we are on board with this. You have school systems and everything now. I don't know if you remember that case that was in Texas about the young lady that was taking hormones and doing the wrestling and, you know, all the runners and everybody. And it's like everybody who is sane, who believes in truth, was sitting around talking about, are we serious? Are we doing this like for real? And now it's gotten to a point to where, again, you can only add sin to sin, where now it's no longer about adults. The argument used to be, you know, why do you care what two grown people doing in their bedroom? But now they're not going after grown people. They're going after children now. And they're talking about like that one parent in Dallas. At the time, his son was 6 years old and his mom was some crazy progressive lunatic. And she was getting that boy to think that he was a girl and had signed him up for surgery, hormone blockers and everything else. And that's just completely heinous. And now we got drag queen story time, which is blatantly open. And so you see the progression of that. But it all started from a denial of truth, a denial of scripture. And then after you do that, I mean, you know, the sky's the limit as far as sin goes.
You know, yeah. to add to what Pastor Henry's saying, I mean, just recently there was a story that came out of Wisconsin about a school district over there that is actually, you know, kind of pressing the kids. Again, this is happening in our schools.
Yeah,
you were saying that, Pastor Henry, was happening in our schools, and there was a story that came out where the teachers are actually hiding the fact that if a kid says, you know, I feel like I'm a transgender, they feel that they don't have to tell the parents that this kid is wanting to transition. And this is how far it's gotten, to where even the schools and school districts are in cahoots with what I would just call demonic activity in working in our kids to try to get them to say, I want to transition over to a different gender. And so that's, I mean, this is how far it's come, right? To where they're going after the kids. You remember that they try to pass it off as a funny video. These California guys that were all singing, you know, the LGBT Alliance or whatever choir they were, and they were coming after your kids kind of thing. But we're seeing it right now in the culture. They are coming after our kids.
Yeah,
they are absolutely trying to get our kids. And I think the majority of what you're seeing as transgenders is happening amongst teenage girls. Right. And what's been happening with the teenage girls is that they wanting so much to fit in, wanting to be seen. A lot of times they'll go to this place where if I can become a victim, and immediately if you're a transgender female, you become part of two victim classes, according to, you know, CRT, the things we've talked about before. If I'm a female, I'm a victim. If I'm a transgender, I'm a victim. And immediately, if all I have to do is claim to be transgender, I'm already victim of two different classes, and I can claim this victim mentality.
Yeah, you gain social equity. Yeah.
Social equity. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing about that, and we may get to it a little bit more in detail, is that it's really evil. And I can't think of any other word for it, because you're taking kids that are between the ages of 6 to 12 years old, prepubescent kids, right? And we all know, some of us have all been there, right? Like, you go through that socially awkward period where you literally just want to fit in. You know, you want to be the popular kid on the playground. You want to do whatever. And if you like to draw, or if you're a nerd, or if you're sort of a misfit, you're outcast, you're socially awkward, you're already dealing with all these emotions as a kid anyway, right? And so add to that social media, add to that this person who is supposed to be a protector, a guider of your mind, your teacher, the person that you respect, and they're pushing these sexualized ideas on you. You know, like, this child is already vulnerable. Children, period, are already vulnerable. They're trusting the parents and the counselors and the teachers, people who they're supposed to put their trust in and confide in. And these people are sick. I can't really explain it any other way other than the fact that it is evil, because you're taking a person at their most vulnerable point, at the most impressionable point, and you're implementing ideas with an apparent agenda that you've admitted to try to, you know, change the course of the flow of society or whatever.
Yeah. Both of you guys are touching on something that's very important. And I think our listeners and our audience need to kind of understand this as well, because there might be some of our audience out there that has kind of been out of it, and they see this stuff, they know it's wrong, but maybe they haven't kind of done the research and actually seen what is actually happening. So if you guys would bear with me, I want to read an op-ed that was in the Washington Examiner. I want to read something from this person. It was a transsexual, but I think it's very moving. I think it speaks to everything. So bear with me. It's a little long, but let me just read it here. He says, I became a male to female transsexual when I was only 15 years old. Bullying at school, instability at home, and a lack of close friends had left me looking for somewhere to belong. And the transgender movement happily provided one. At the cost of my health and sanity, living as a transgender woman left me delusional, paranoid, and sick. Despite this, I stayed transgender for 8 years. The nature of the transgender movement makes it almost impossible to escape and pushes the people within it to adapt radical beliefs and irreversibly harm themselves. My new identity brought me friends, mentors, and a purpose in life. I went from being a lonely, insecure teenager to a member of a loving community engaged in a heroic battle against an evil society that desired my destruction. Left-wing oppression narratives disseminated online and in local queer youth groups ran by adult members of the movement cast cis people as villains. Transitioning was a baptismal ritual in which I was cleansed of my wicked nature as a cis male oppressor and reborn as a virtuous, marginalized person with a new name and body. Adult transsexuals online coached me on how to convince my parents, doctors, and therapists that I was suffering from gender dysphoria. The term supposedly refers to incongruence between one's sex, body, and internal sense of gender, but is used among transgender people as a catch-all term for any negative emotion. It's an attractive narrative for vulnerable teenagers who are struggling with their developing bodies, sexualities, and looming responsibilities of adulthood. Not long after turning 15, I started Lupron, a chemotherapy medication that is used off-label to halt puberty in gender dysphoric adolescents. At age 16, I started taking synthetic estrogen. When I expressed doubts, I was reassured that all transgender people sometimes feel like they aren't really transgender, and that contentment waited at the end of the line if I just stuck with it. Clinging to this fantasy of a happy future where my transition was complete, let me ignore the medication made me feel worse, not better. I couldn't think clearly. I started missing school. I developed chronic migraines. My bones ache. I became suicidal. I barely scraped up enough credits to graduate from high school. The community explained away these negative treatments outcomes as manifestations of gender dysphoria and minority stress. My worsening health had nothing to do with my rejection of my body and identity or the experimental medications I was taking. It was all the fault of the transphobic society that tyrannized me. With this narrative, the community cultivized fear of the outside world and its members. I viewed anyone who questioned my transition or expressed concern for me as a bigot and disregarded them on principle. My parents learned to choose their words carefully so they wouldn't set me off. I developed a panic response to hearing anyone express opinions that were deemed problematic. I suspected that everyone I passed on the street wanted me dead for being transgender. It goes on and on, but she includes, or he includes, the doctors and what they did to this person and how they left them suicidal and mutilated their body and so forth. It goes on and on. And it is just, as I was reading that, you know, my heart felt for people like this, because we know it's sin, but there's also these movements out there, as this person was speaking about, even these doctors that are willing, like you said, Henry, to deny truth for the sake of advancing their agenda and promoting this. And what this is doing to our young people is it is not helping them. It is making them worse. It is not advancing their cause. It is bringing them low and bringing them not to a point where they love themselves more, but to a point where they even hate themselves more. Yeah. And that's the problem with this movement.
I think one of the things that you're touching on, though, too, Pastor Chris, is and we got to say this. Why, you know, what agenda are we talking about? Right. And one of the things I've read about, and I don't know, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. Right. But sometimes we might need to be, right. And I'm looking at what Big Pharma is doing with the doctors. Right.
Yeah.
How much does it cost? What is it? What is this business of? Because what I read one testimonial like that you're talking about, Pastor Chris, where the person that was speaking said, I only went to two. I only had to get two doctors to sign off, and they signed off quicker than I could. One was a psychologist, and that psychologist, after one visit, signed the paper that say I can transition. And that right there, without how can the psychologist know after one visit that this person is ready psychologically to take that leap of faith? Now, you're also talking about this transgenderism when it comes to the dysmorphia that they feel. There's another thing called a body dysmorphia. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, right? That's where somebody feels like this arm doesn't belong to me. Right. And they might go to the doctor and say, hey, this is not my hand. Please take this hand away from me. Now, they would look at that guy and say, well, hold on. I'm not going to cut off your hand. Right. And so this is an interesting thing, because I did what Pastor Henry just mentioned, Matt Walsh's documentary, What is a Woman? And I got a chance to watch that. And he asks a doctor who is the number one doctor for the transgender, you know, transitioning. She's done more operations than anybody in this country. And he asked her about that body dysmorphia and the dysmorphia that is felt by the transgender. He asked that question, and she actually said, yeah, that seems like that person would need some psychological help if he wanted to cut his arm off, right?
Yeah.
He asked, you don't see any correlation between those two things? Right. I mean, you don't see anything that is the same in that? She said, absolutely not. So to me, it's like she's in it for the money, right? Like, yeah, she's right. She's getting paid all kinds of money for this, and it's got to be thousands and thousands of dollars per each like operation, each procedure, each kind of a medication that's been happening for these guys. So there's something beyond all that, and you know, for most, it's, you know, what we talk about. The Bible says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil," and this seems like to be one of those instances because they don't care about these kids. They say they care about these kids,
right?
But there has to be something else beyond it, or you'd have more than one session with a psychologist to find out if you were ready to transition psychologically.
That was probably the biggest eye opener of this whole thing, and that movie did a good job of kind of opening my eyes. I did my own research after the fact just to verify. You know, and those same pharmaceutical companies made the biggest payout, $874 million, right? Paying out to victims who were saying this or whatever. And they made it without a blink of an eye because, you know, they're making money hand over fist. And there was one lady in there. She had performed the surgery, transitioned into a man. And then, of course, she detransitioned or whatever. Of course, you know, we're using these terms just for the sake of understanding, but we don't believe in transitioning because you can't transition. God made you whatever you are. But she was explaining to Matt Walsh in the documentary, and this kind of was when the light bulb went off in my head, is that not only is it agenda driven, but the agenda is what Jimmy was alluding to. It is financial now, because she said for the first time in history, there is a minority group that is the biggest cash cow. They have the biggest dollar sign on the front of their head because, as Jimmy said, not only do you have the ability to get this person to take psychological drugs because they're dealing with all this anxiety and depression, et cetera, suicidal thoughts, et cetera. But now this person, if I can get you to transition, now this person has to constantly come back for the hormone blockers, constantly come back for the estrogen, you know, pills or whatever the case may be. Then they have to take other medication to maintain the natural function of their body because their body is naturally rejecting all these chemical sort of imbalances. Mm-hmm. If you're a girl and you stop puberty, because girls, you know, go to puberty a lot quicker than boys, it's ravaging their body. And they paint it in the documentary like, oh, well, you can just put a pause on puberty. That is incorrect. That is absolutely incorrect. And that is ridiculously heinous as far as the level of evil that they're implementing in these particular things. And it goes back to what we see in scripture. I'll just read scripture, Romans 1, 24 through 26. It says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26 is sort of the nail in the coffin. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, right? So we know the heavens declare the glory of God, but the human body is made in God's image. And so God's imprint on the human body is literally telling them this is wrong, but they refuse to obey what the natural given imprint genetically that God has put inside of our body, saying this is incorrect, this is wrong, this is not natural, but yet they go against it for the sake of worshiping the creature, right? My identity is what makes me who I am, not the creator that made me, but my physical identity, whether I'm male or female, whether I have a genital on this side, a genital on this side, they're worshiping the creature more than the creator.
You know, what this does too is it gives young people and children and young people an option to act out, right? So what we need to understand is that young people and children, they don't have it all figured out. You know what I mean? And this has been the case throughout history, right? Since the beginning of time. It used to be, you know, when young people were battling with identity issues or whatever, they would act out with maybe alcohol or maybe sex before marriage and you know, these other sinful options. But what the movement has done is that they have brought another option. Here's another option for you to choose when you're having some internal conflict or some identity issues. You can choose to change your gender. And I think that's what we're seeing in the culture right now. And I think that's why it's changing so fast right before our eyes. But let me ask you guys this. So, you often hear, sometimes you'll hear when we talk about homosexuality and so forth, you'll hear, well, the Bible doesn't speak to this issue, right? So does the Bible speak to this issue? We know that the Bible does speak to homosexuality, and we've touched on that before. But now, since we're talking about transgenderism and gender identity, does the Bible speak to this issue?
I think it does. I think right there at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, it still holds true. In the beginning, God created them. Male and female, created he them. All right? There's it's a simple thing. And I don't know how much more simple you can get, how much more basic you can get in a verse of scripture. And again, I think the enemy's main job is to make us doubt God's word. But it's as simple as that, Pastor Chris, right? Male and female is how he created them. And then you get to the New Testament, and somebody told me the other day, you know, Jesus didn't ever mention anything about homosexuals or anything like that. I said, he doubled down. He doubled down on Genesis when he said, have you not read, right, where it said he created them male and female? And so I think that's a basic thing. But as to the whole culture and the shift that we're seeing with this revolution, the sexual revolution, I think that the Bible is replete with always showing how the culture will go. You only have to read stories about Sodom and Gomorrah to see how the culture has become, right? Hey, wait, don't leave this man alone, right? Because they're at the door trying to bang down the door. Hey, let us know this man. And this is what they're doing. They're banging down our doors, trying to get to know our kids, right? And we need to stand firm. You know, I mean the word no, you know, in the biblical sense of the word, when we see that word, and this is I think what it speaks to, we need to stand in. But I also see the wrath that's coming from this, right? So because there at Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a big thing that happened there, and there is something that preceded that whole story, and that's this. Show me 50 righteous people, right? Show me 40 righteous people.
Yeah.
And I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Show me 30. Show me 20. Show me 10. Where are the righteous people? I think this is one of the things we need to ask. Where are the righteous people standing up for the kids? You know, and saying something that, you know, here we are. We're three guys on a mic. But, I mean, we're saying this, and I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. Stay away from my kids. Right. I mean, I want to evangelize and I want to bring people to come to know Christ, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Stay away from my kids. Stay away from my grandkids. Don't bring that near my grandkids, because I have a duty and I have a right to protect my family from this type of ideology. Right. And so this is one thing that, you know, we talk about so many things on SoloCast, but this is one that comes near. And I have yet to find a person that I've asked as a Christian, what if it was happening to your kids? What would you do? Right. Yeah. I want to be gentle, you know, but I'm going to answer. And if it comes right down to it, I'm going to protect my family.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. I definitely think the Bible does speak to this, Pastor Chris. I mean, I just pulled up one scripture, but there's several. Of course, you can look in the Levitical code from pretty much from 17 through 20. But in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says this. It says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. And that goes to the fact of, it's like, again, God made male and female. He made them unique in his image. And he doesn't want that image to be marred or changed or even substituted in such a way to where you're trying to make yourself look like a woman if you're a man, and make yourself look like a man if you're a woman. He made them male and female, and they are synonymous. Like, this whole idea that sex is separated from gender is just ridiculous. Like, you know, like, again, this is the reason why God has it in there. And it goes beyond just cross-dressing, right? Because you're literally saying to God, I don't like the image that you made me in. I am going to create my own image, right? How, you know, what hubris is that to say to your creator that you don't want to be what he created you to actually be, and the gender thereof or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, we know this, but I'm in the same vein as Jimmy is, like, you know, God's grace only goes so far. Right. You know, there were unnatural relationships. No matter what your theology is on Genesis 6, we know that something happened where there was an unnatural relationship between the sons of God and the daughters of men. It was heinous. And God says this party's getting shut down. Right. And Peter warns us. Peter looks all the way back to the days of Noah. And he said, just like in the days of Noah, they will be doing the same exact thing, eating, drinking, being merry, doing what they want to do. Right. Until the floods came. But this time it's not going to be flood. And so we need to be forceful with our gospel, but be honest. And not only that, but we need to fight like all get out, because these people are going after children. And I'll leave you with this, is that, like, Christians, just obey the original command of God in two ways, right? If you don't have kids, raise up the kids in your church body, in your family, in those acquaintances that you're able to speak into their lives in the ways of the Lord, in the morning, evening, and night, raise them up in the days of the Lord. If you have kids, whether they be stepchildren, actual children, biological, adopted, whatever, raise those children up in the admonition of the Lord, because we overpopulate those people. The only way Satan can reproduce is because Satan does not create anything, right? Only God creates. So the only way these people have the ability to reproduce is through indoctrination, because they can't reproduce with male and male and female. They can't reproduce because they're destroying their reproductive organs. So how do they reproduce? They have to reproduce through deception, through indoctrination. And we can stop that, because all we have to do is obey exactly what God has told us to do.
Yeah. Let me throw one more verse in there for Pastor Chris's question. This is Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The idolatry part, I mean, I know you think I'm going to hone in on sexual immorality, but I'd rather say the idolatry, because we've been saying this. And I think when we mentioned the Carl Truman's book, that's what it's about, the self.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here it is, and what Pastor Henry was alluding to is taking the self and putting him in the throne, and saying, "Here it is. I'm going to glorify the creature rather than the creator, right? I'm going to put the self in the spot in that throne and say he's the one that gets to say all these things. We're not falling in line if we're saying I'm not what God created me to be." And again, I know that there's cliche things that people will look at and say that's homophobic or transphobic or whatever. But when we say God didn't make mistakes, he doesn't make mistakes. You were made a male for a reason and a female for a reason.
Yeah.
You might feel a certain way, but again, remember, we submit to the authority of God. And when I read this particular verse, I'm gonna key in on that idolatry thing, because as Calvin said, we are just our minds are idol factories, and here's another fabrication.
Yeah,
in a factory of idolatry is transgenderism, and it's another way to put self on the throne.
Yeah, not good stuff. I mean, I think we can also go to the Ten Commandments, right? And I can see a few violations there in the Ten Commandments. We can start with taking the Lord's name in vain by saying that, you know, I don't like how you created me, Lord. That is taking his name in vain. Honor your father and your mother as another one. You know, a lot of times this is going against what their father and mother would want. Thou shalt not steal. You know, you're stealing an identity that does not belong to you. You know, commit adultery, that shall not kill. Remember, Christ, you know, furthered that. If you have hatred in your heart, right? And for you to hate the body that God gave you, that is a violation of the commandments. So we can go to the commandments, but I also want to go back to Genesis 1. because, you know, Jimmy, you mentioned it, you know, male and female, he created them. But there's even more in that, in the Imago Dei, right? And being created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. Let me just read the text again. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth, right? So being created in the image of God means that we were created to image God here on earth, to represent God here on earth. And part of that is to represent him and having dominion and subduing the earth, just as God has dominion over all things. And the mandate that flows from that, the mandate that flows out of the image of God, is to be fruitful and multiply. Pastor, and you touched on this a little bit. In order to fulfill our God-given mandate, our creation mandate, we must continue to remain either male or female. Because male, male, and female, female doesn't procreate. We cannot fulfill this mandate. So this ties into being created in the image of God to subdue and to have dominion over the earth. When we violate that image of God by choosing another gender, then what we're doing is we're going against the doctrine of the Imago Dei. Another place we can go to is how we are going to be resurrected with bodies, right? Our soul is not the only thing that resurrects. Our body also resurrects, right? And that includes, so when we talk about the image of God, it not only includes our inner parts, it also includes our body, both body and the soul. And if we remember Christ being the first fruit of the resurrection, how did he resurrect? Did he just resurrect in the spirit? No, he had a bodily resurrection. So if our resurrection includes our bodies, that means that our bodies are part of who we are. Our bodies include our wholeness. In other words, our bodies are just as important as our inner parts, our soul, our mind, our feelings, our emotions. We can't sacrifice our bodies on the altar of our feelings, because our bodies are just as essential to who we are than anything else. Amen. Our true self isn't just what's inside of us. Our true self also includes what's outside, which is our bodies, right? And I think culture says, well, the true self is in you, right? Our culture is always saying, follow your heart, follow your feelings, follow what you want, your dreams, your desires, your goals. Well, you know what? Our bodies include who we are. And the theology of the body is very important to us, to the Imago Dei, and to the eschaton, to the resurrection. So yeah, I mean, if someone tries to say this transgenderism is not mentioned nowhere in scripture, I mean, we can pull out all kinds of things and show you where it is, right? God, again, going back to the beginning, God created us in his image, and that image includes our bodies as well.
Amen.
Here's a verse I thought I'd never understand, Pastor Chris. So just so you know, Deuteronomy 23:1, no one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, I mean, I guess you want to look at it from a couple of different perspectives, because I still believe that somebody that goes through this can be saved, right? The Lord can work all kinds of miracles.
Yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch, right?
Ethiopian eunuch, exactly. And so there is salvation to be found. But this right here has to tell you something about the way God feels about what we're talking about, because I never, you know, up until transgender times, I never really understood that verse or understood why it would be in there. But this obviously is something the Lord is passionate about, or he wouldn't have put it into Deuteronomy. And I look at it and I think, wow, he means purposely. We're not talking about somebody that just had an accident. We're talking about somebody that purposely went and did this, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, the difference, right? You can read Deuteronomy 23:1 all day with, you know, just this knowledge. Behind it is a motive. What was the motive, right? What was the motive behind him putting this in the scripture? And that's because there are some people that would feel like, I want to cut this off, right?
So let me just throw out a question to play devil's advocate for a little bit. Kind of just give some pushback, because I can hear this out there, somebody saying this. So what's the difference between someone wanting to change their body, change their gender, mutilate themselves or whatever because of gender issues? What's the difference between that and getting an ear piercing or getting a tattoo?
That is an interesting question. Well, I don't personally consider tattoos a mutilation or ear piercings. I mean, is that mutilation? I mean, you can still use the earlobe. I've got tattoos on my arms. Don't stop me from lifting weights. I mean, I don't know.
So I wouldn't label that to be a mutilation or like a dysphoric motion. The similar thing would be what Jimmy brought up there at the beginning of the show would be, if I want my arm to be cut off and God has blessed me with two arms or two legs or whatever the case may be, if I'm piercing my ear, I'm not stopping the natural function of the ear, which is to hear, right? If I'm getting a tattoo, I am marring my skin, but I'm not stopping the natural function of what an arm or what a leg or whatever is. Exactly. Now I would advise those who get like piercings and stuff done in unmentionable areas. If you're stopping the natural function of what God has created it for, then I would say, yeah, you're in violation at that point. But a normal tattoo or a normal piercing is not going to stop the natural function of these areas of our body that God has so designed it to be.
Great answer, guys. I threw a curveball at you.
You did throw a curveball at me. You didn't.
Well, you know, I could just hear somebody out there. You know, I'm hearing all these, you know, rebuttals and so forth, right?
Here's another thing I think that we'll hear even after we put this out is this transphobia thing. Listen, I always want to try to address this as well because on the plane to Philadelphia, I had this conversation with a young lady next to me who told me, all the Christians are, Jesus, this is what I was telling you earlier, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. And I looked at her and I understood where she was coming from. My point with her was to try to tell her this, listen, if I truly believe that someone might end up in hell and there is a place like that, I truly believe that, what kind of man would I be if I didn't warn you? Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is a destructive path. Pastor Chris, that long quote that you read earlier is a testimonial to what people go through. Now, here's the thing. We care about people. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we're on SoloCast and we're talking about these things, we get to something that's serious like this. It's because we care.
Yeah.
It's not because we're transphobic. I'm not afraid of transgenders. Right. They're people. Right. But I do care that they're destroying their own lives. I do care that they're going down a path that is destructive. I do care that they're going down a path that does not honor God. Again, I think we should care about these things, right? I think that we should look at these things and say, listen, that is not God's intent for your life, right? This isn't, a wonderful plan for your life. And this is not your best life now. Right. I think that, I joke around too much about those terms, but I think there is something to be said about the after effect. Right. And there is studies out there. There are studies out there that show that this is a detriment. And ultimately, there will be people that suffer for it. And so it's not that we're phobic. I don't want to, people are going to say that about us because we put this episode out. They're going to say, they're just transphobes.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to believe that if you want, but I care enough about people to say, I believe this to be the truth. You're going down a bad path, right? Don't go down that path, and don't let your kids go down that bad path. Protect your children and protect your loved ones, right? Anyway.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I just there are instances that, we've had podcasts before where we talk about, hey, who's a heretic and who's not a heretic, who's borderline or who's just like a person with the best intentions, but they're not really a false teacher. They just are in grave error. Stuff like this goes beyond just grave error. Like stuff like this, where you're going after children as young as 5 years old, where we have to institute laws that stop teachers from talking to children K through third grade. Stuff like this where the idea is all these transgender people are committing suicide because the world is transphobic. But when you look at the actual medical numbers, the people who go through the transition, quote unquote, the suicide rates get higher, not lower.
Right.
That was mind blowing to me. So the quest to be what you desired you wanted to be, bucking against God, being influenced by older, supposed to be trustworthy people, is actually making you worse to the point to where the suicide rates actually increase. As Christians, our heart pours out for that. We know the end result. And the end result is not just you having a horrible body or you not being able to have sexual relations anymore for the rest of your life, or you experiencing a level of depression. The end result is eternal damnation, hellfire in the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, guess what? I don't know if the fires in hell are literal, but I know every person that finds themselves there are going to wish they are.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that God is going to completely separate you from his glory, from himself. Your creator that created you in his image, he created you beautifully. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. And you're going to spend your whole life going against what he has designed you to be and ultimately end up in the place separated from that creator. That's the reason why we do what we do. That's why we share the gospel. That's why we take issues like this especially serious. And if anybody comes against it, I'm sorry, but I see you as an enemy. You have been fully influenced by Satan. And this idea, I mean, it plays into the culture of death, right? You know, the support of global warming, I don't want to reproduce or have children because I don't want to bring a child into this world because of global warming, because of the carbon footprint. I don't want to bring a children into this world because I made a mistake, abortion. And I want to stop my child from obeying the biblical mandate, the physical biblical mandate one day by making this child into what I want to fulfill in terms of my identity politics agenda. That is heinous. And then here's the overarching thing. All the medical professionals and all the media are willing to keep the voices quiet of those who have spoken out, who have experienced this, who are trying to warn people about this for the sake of money. Yeah. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve one and then serve the others. You're going to hate the one or cling to the other. And right now we are seeing a satanic movement and they're clinging to agenda and most of all money because it is a cash cow.
Good stuff. But I just want to close. I just want to go back to a term that we used and I don't think we kind of fleshed out, the gender dysphoria. Yeah. Let me just read the definition. Gender dysphoria is a term that describes a sense of unease that a person may have because of a mismatch between their biological sex and their gender identity. So, you know, it's basically someone saying, you know, I don't feel like I'm in the right body, you know, and they feel kind of conflicted, an inner conflict or whatever. The thing that I got to say, and this is just my closing thought, is that gender dysphoria, like everything else, is part of the fall. It's part of the problem that we have with sin. Here's the thing. Sin affects everything. It affects everything. And the only solution to the sin, and not only in gender dysphoria, but any sin, the only solution is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's not to say that, you know, some people don't carry a heavier burden. That's not to say that some people, for some reason or another, maybe it's cultural influence, maybe it's family. I don't know. You know, there can be so many different factors. That's not to say that some people don't have a heavier burden to go through when battling and struggling with sin. But the bottom line is the solution to all of it, whether it's gender dysphoria or adultery or alcoholism or drug addiction, the solution always comes back to the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we're talking about gender dysphoria and, you know, the case of not knowing who you are or having some type of internal conflict, you know, a lot of people have that. It might not be the same. Maybe you're out there and you're a young person, you're a teenager, you're an adult and your child is struggling with this. You know, maybe it might not be the same as what someone else is going through, but the bottom line is we're all struggling with sin. And in the case of mistaken identity, trying to find who we are, the answer is not found in you know, changing your sex or any other vices that we can run to kind of fulfill that void. The answer is found in Jesus Christ, because this is just an effect of the fall. And the only solution to it is going to be the gospel. We all have a case of mistaken identity, right? We all have a case of not knowing and figuring out who we are. We're sinners. We need to find out. Yes, we're sinners, but we can also be in Christ. We can also have our sin forgiven. Let me just close with the text, famous text, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're not asking people, young people that are struggling with gender dysphoria to do anything different than when we ask of everyone else. We ask everyone, whether heterosexual or they feel they're homosexual, we ask everyone to die to themselves. Everyone must die to themselves. Everyone must say, like this text, I must be crucified with Christ. I must lay down my life and I must pick up my new life, which is found in Jesus Christ. And I must live that life by faith.
That's good stuff, Pastor Chris. I always want to point to the gospel when we're talking about things like this, because there is redemption that can be found, even for someone who has transitioned and maybe has gone through the surgeries and things like that. Don't think that transgenderism, if you've been caught down and gone down that rabbit hole, that there isn't hope for you. Hope is always found in Jesus Christ, and we can run to Him and find that salvation. I do want to say this one thing. I wanted to mention this because I think it's important. I do want to reference back. I think it was a great documentary that Matt Walsh put out, What is a Woman? I think that it really put a spotlight on things when Ketanji Brown Jackson was asked that question in what is a woman? Can you define what a woman is for me? I mean, it brought a spotlight to the whole thing. And this is where we are, where the progressive left just won't and doesn't want to admit what a woman is. And so, you know, I enjoyed the documentary. I thought it was eye-opening, especially the scenes where he went to Africa and asked the questions from those African tribesmen. And they were like, we know nothing about this over here. It's as simple as it can be.
Jimmy, those African tribesmen, they were just a bunch of transphobes. Okay. Like,
listen, I will say this, and I want to end this way. My thought like this: Matt Walsh finally found his answer in his own kitchen, asking his own wife, what is a woman? And she says, a fully adult female who needs help with this. And she hands him a pickle jar so he can open it. And I thought, man, I thought that was the best scene in the documentary because it came right down to the fact. And I want to end with this verse, right? 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I think that says it all. We know who women are, and they are to be honored. And I think we show them dishonor when as men we say, well, I'm a woman too. You know, I think there's a dishonor that comes with that. And I think that, again, if there's a Leah Thomas out there swimming with the women, that's disgraceful. You're not showing honor to the women as you should. And there's a scripture that goes to it. That's my last thought.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, good stuff, guys. I hope you out there, audience, enjoyed that episode. I know it's probably a little heavier topic, but it was, I think, a topic that needs to be discussed, needs to be fleshed out. It's a continuing conversation as the culture continues to, push back on, the Imago Dei. The church needs to also continue this conversation. And like you said earlier, Pastor Henry, raise our children, in the ways of the Lord. But if you got any questions to ask, any pushback, anything you want to add, you can find us online. You can go to our website, www.thesolarcast.com. You can also find us on social media. We're on Instagram @TheSolarCast. We're also on Twitter @Solar_Cast. And you guys are at?
I'm at Los Jimmy.
And I'm at Knox Broadcast.
And I'm at C Hernandez 214. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search for the page, like it, share it. Also, check out our partners at The Bar Network at thebarpodcast.com. There you can find some exciting episodes. You can find Hearts for the Lost, Jimmy and our brother Brian and I doing a good evangelism podcast. And also, if you're in the Dallas area, July 9th, right, Jimmy?
Yes, July 9th.
July 9th, yeah. How do they sign up?
They go to Eventbrite and search for Hearts for the Lost on Eventbrite. Find the link there. You know, if anything, we could probably put the link in the show notes. What do you think, Chris? Do you think we
can possibly? Man, I don't even know. Do we still know how to do that?
It's on Buzzsprout, man. It's a pretty simple thing. Yeah. So,
Or you can go directly to ecclesiachurch.org, and the link will be there as well. Okay. I think they updated that, and also the Facebook page as well. So, you can go there.
Great, great. So that's going to be a great event. We are actually thinking about this, and Pastor Henry can give me, you know, news whether or not, but we're thinking because of the heat of July, of maybe witnessing the night before on Friday night, as opposed to going out after in the heat of, you know, 140 degree weather doesn't bode well for witnessing in the afternoon after the conference. So we were thinking in the cool of the night before, going out witnessing and then having a
role. Probably get more people at night too. So out there.
Yeah. And we were thinking that. So we'll make official announcements and everything and put out some social media stuff as we decide to do that. But it just seems like it'd be a better way to do things when it comes to it. But it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, like we said before, even if you're not in Dallas, if you're in Texas, just make the drive, you know, anywhere in Texas. Well, unless El Paso is like, what, 10 hours, 12 hours. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know we're that important to come 12 hours.
But. I got some people flying in from Iowa and South Carolina.
Okay. Man, okay, so, I mean, come on.
We should have got Rick Warren to come. And then that would have,
Rick Warren come. Yeah, we would have had to, you know, book the AAC. Yeah.
Of course. If Rick Warren had come, then he could just go touch the bridge, and all the people there would be safe.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're in the Dallas area looking for a church, you can find us on the east side of town by going to www.ecclesiachurch.org. On the south or west side of town, you can find us at redemptivecity.org. But anyway, until next time,
let's get to the meat.
Yes, sir.
Do it.
Okay. I just made this beat right now. I'm MC Goya. Okay, listen. Hey, I'm on the ground like El Chapo, in a tunnel, eating about 12 tacos. I'll put you in a box like a gato, punchline stay in my mouth like Mr. Sacco. Jay thinks he runs Christian hip-hop, he wears white socks when he wears his flip-flops. And he looks like Shug Knight, I put him in a chokehold and say goodnight. It's not music, but clothes that he started. I can find better shirts in a flea market. Okay, Google, who's the best rapper? Goya, rapping graces full of slack.